from 3116, 3116. And those who wish to join them are invited to do so. Now we, however, have already concluded the formal proceedings of the Philadelphia Society, and we open the proceedings of the Wilhelm Röpke Stiftung. There is a certain connection, notably Don Lipset. Mr. Don Lipset's idea was that we endeavor to entice Dr. Hunold here to address us. And I was delighted at the suggestion, and then Mr. Lipset ordered me to arrange it. And as I am always subservient to him in all things, I promptly rode off with faint hope to Dr. Hunold. I was surprised and delighted to find that he could come. Mr. Mahler and myself are the American trustees of the Wilhelm Röpke Stiftung, about which you're going to hear more presently from our speakers. Now, let me offer you just a little by way of remark on the very fine film we saw this afternoon about Adam Smith. There is indeed some connection with our topic of this evening, Wilhelm Röpke. The film was set for the most part in Kirkcaldy, in Fife, a town which I have known for nearly 30 years. And delightful though the film was, the town of Kirkcaldy is by no means so delightful as it was in the time of Adam Smith. As you learned from the film, the town council thoughtfully knocked down Smith's birthplace some years ago. They've also thoughtfully destroyed most else of antiquarian or historic or artistic interest in the town of Kirkcaldy. You saw in the film considerable evidence of industry there. Indeed, there is. The buildings you saw, for the most part, are county council housing at public expense and low rents, inhabited by a turbulent and sometimes criminal population. The big coal docks and, of course, the collieries, the whole industrial system are now mostly nationalized in Kirkcaldy. There's a very high unemployment rate, and the linoleum factories, which were the chief source of prosperity of the town earlier in the century and at the end of the last century, have been destroyed by taxation of various kinds, by all kinds of public mismanagement, and have now been demolished. There remains a proletary population supported one way or another by at governmental expense. A sad memorial to the genius of Adam Smith. Well, Wilhelm Röpke saw the coming of this proletarian world as a result of a failure of human imagination and reason. And it is the genius and the character of Wilhelm Röpke, which we are celebrating tonight. We have with us, of course, very distinguished man indeed, Dr. Hunold, the close friend and collaborator in many undertakings of Dr. Röpke. And we have with us the closest of his American disciples, Dr. Bormann, and another eminent admirer of Dr. Röpke, Thomas Molnar. And I'm going to tell you all a little about them presently, as if you really needed to know anything more. At any rate, our dinner tonight is in commemoration of the high achievement of Wilhelm Röpke, and in the welcome of Dr. Hunold to the shores, where he indeed has been before. And Dr. Hunold is going to give us the chief address, and there will be brief remarks by Dr. Molnar and Dr. Bowman. Let me offer you just a few remarks about Dr. Hunold, who's going to speak on the Good Society and its enemies, which in a sense, of course, is a paraphrase of Popper's title, The Open Society and Its Enemies. But perhaps the Open Society is not really a good society. Röpke didn't think so. And a society has to have roots, has to have traditions, it has to have beliefs. And if a society is perfectly open, then it is open to every wind of doctrine, to fanatic ideology, including the ideology of socialism, which has virtually ruined Kirkcaldy, Adam Smith's Kirkcaldy. Society must believe in something. It must have an organic growth, real roots. And for those things, Röpke stood. And Dr. Hunold stands. Now, Dr. Hunold, as you know, was the founder, secretary, and vice president of the Bone-Tolerant Society from its foundation in 1947 until the year 1960. He has many other distinctions, founder and executive member of the board of the Swiss Institute of International Studies at Zurich from 1950 to 1966, a traveler to many lands and consultant and lecturer in many, author of a wide variety of studies in economics, economic history, and social thought and current affairs, which some here are well familiar. He's probably best known in the United States for his admirable volume, an anthology which he edited, Freedom and Serfdom, in English, which was published in 1961. Dr. Hunold is the founder of the Wilhelm Röpke Stiftung, of which Ludwig Erhard was the first chairman. But there's somebody who is, knew Dr. Hunold much better than I have known him, although we have been acquainted for, I suppose, 2 decades, and whose words will carry much more weight than will mine in describing the character and achievement of Dr. Hunold. And that person whose words will carry weight is Wilhelm Röpke. And in the year 1959, Dr. Röpke wrote a tribute to Dr. Hunold, which I'll quote only a brief portion here tonight. And he speaks of Dr. Hunold being an excellent organizer, as indeed he was in the Von Pelerin Society, and then and in other things. And then Röpke goes on to say, "But to be an excellent organizer is not enough. Dr. Hunold could not have done what he actually achieved if he were not, at the same time, himself a man full of the right ideas and intellectually the equal of the men whose brains he is organizing. But even that is not sufficient to explain why Albert Hunold has grown into a personality of such power and influence, given the right intellect. It is, here as everywhere, the character which finally turns the scale. That is what distinguishes the mere intellectual from the clerk. And our friend is another illustration of this much neglected truth. Firmly believing in ultimate values, Hunold knows what is at stake today, and he makes short shrift of those who do not. He does not mince his words whenever he comes into conflict with those who betray these ultimate values recklessly or maliciously. It is true that occasionally his temperament may carry him away, and even have had a serious brawl with him. I've even had a serious brawl with him not long ago. All the more reliable should be my testimony when I praise the golden heart and the staunch loyalty behind that temperament, the love of everything which deserves it, and the impatient contempt of everything which does not. All his friends who have discovered that this is the real core of his personality feel the urge to be loyal to such a loyal man, and at this occasion of his 60th anniversary, this is 1959, to thank him by way of telling him that he belongs to those few who, by their work and influence, have made themselves irreplaceable. I give you Dr. Albert Hunold."